Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Andrea Cerbi, Fred Film Radio from the Venice Festival for the immersive part of the festival, the VR immersive section. I'm here with Vittoria Busis for the film Stay Alive, My Son, which is an immersive film, of course, so it's not just a film, it's like something more. and it's taken and inspired by a book, right?
That's right, yes.
How did you come up to adapt? Because it's weird to adapt a book to an immersive film than a regular film.
You should have seen his reaction when I told him I was going to do it. He thought I was making a game, so fair enough. I came across this book in 2013 when I was visiting Cambodia. Mm-hmm. And it was very powerful because it was very descriptive. It was very cinematic. You can see you could see the spaces. You can hear the sounds. And the story is about this man and his family as they escaped the Cambodian genocide. And it turns on a decision he had to make to abandon his six-year-old son behind. So I, you know, was landing in New York and started to cry. I was feeling so, you know, so strongly about the country, the people, the story. And I was originally going to make it into a movie years ago. But Angelina Jolie released her film on Netflix. I'm not Angelina Jolie, so I didn't
really
think. Yeah, I know. Yeah, definitely that. Yet, so I said to myself, "Oh, I can't. The market won't bear a second movie." Years later, I had gone to MIT to study technology and innovation, and I was always bothered by this idea that what would be the future of cinema. And at that time, there was a lot of content, Netflix, Paramount, Amazon, and I felt that films were just kind of washing over people. And at that time, when I was listening to a lot of the younger generation speak, they weren't talking about movies. They were talking about games they played, games like The Last of Us that had strong character developments, very strong narratives. And I said, there's something happening here. There's a change happening. And I said, would it be possible for me to combine my love and obsession with cinema with gaming so that the audience can step in the shoes of the main character of a story, mm-hmm, and live their experience, truly live it themselves and experience every complex emotion, every space, hear the sounds as if they were at that time period. And I chose this film. Because this, see, I'm saying film. I chose this experience. I'm a lover of film, so I chose this experience in this book because I think it spoke to what was happening in the world at the time, mm-hmm, Syrian refugee crisis and now Ukraine. So I said,
it's unfortunately very contemporary issue for many years now. Actually.
For many years, yeah.
Listen, where's the line between the gaming and movies?
Yeah.
In your world, I mean, in the immersive VR world.
The line is a very fine line because at the end of the day, I'm a filmmaker at heart. So for me, story is number one. Mm-hmm. If you have too many game mechanics, too many puzzles, too complex, too many things, then you're losing the story. It's becoming a game. So I didn't want to make a game. I still wanted to say a story about this man. So we had to do a lot of testing because the environments are very rich. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're in this temple. You feel like you're in this prison. You feel like you're in this house with this man. So you needed to give the person the moment to look around.
Yeah.
Get oriented.
To experience it,
right? To sit in the skin of this person. And then I used voiceover. To start kind of giving some of that narrative language before I told them to do something, a mechanic, a clue of some sort. And as they did it, it was a sense of repetition that you do. So then it becomes second nature. So then you could give more narrative. Mm-hmm. And you can actually, and in this piece, we have a beautiful cast as well. So you unlock memories. And those are purely cinematic moments, shot on green screen, inserted into the virtual world. Mm-hmm. So that's how I did it. And it was a lot of testing. It's a lot of testing because you have to give people that moment to breathe it.
To breathe it in. Are you giving yourself limits on what you can achieve and what you can create inside the same film, the same like product, if I may say so. Because it could be an endless thing, you know. You could add, keep on adding steps, and then especially for a book like this, which is very thick.
Yes.
Of events.
Yes, that was the hardest part. Was, you know, how do you choose what scenes to add? And at first, I was just going to make it about the book, 1975 to 1979. His family evacuates Phnom Penh. He escapes. Boom, done. Mm-hmm. But then what happened was, I interviewed him many times. And on one interview, I had my friends at Lola VFX. They did the aging for Benjamin Button. Mm-hmm. I said, listen, I want to try to use this experience to try to find the boy, because wouldn't that be a marvelous thing? And I said, can you age this photo, the only photo he has of him, who was 6 years old at the time, can you age it to the age he would be today, which would be 50 years old? And he says, let me try it. So he does it. I take it with me to Paris, where Pinyatai lives. Mm-hmm. I said, no, I did this, you know, what do you think? This is Nawath at the age he would be today. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm doing like the coolest thing. Oh my God, we're going to find the boy. And he sits there and he's looking at it and he's like, well, his lip, maybe. And then he stops. And I turn off the camera and I said, do you think it could be your son? And he says to me, no, that's not my son. My son is a 6-year-old boy. And that's when I said to myself, the story is not just what happened in the book. Because maybe we've seen that in the Killing Fields movie or what have
you.
I said, why don't I start the story now as if the player is me going to visit him to show him this photo? And it's the night of when he has the photo in his house and he's reflecting on the clash of realities, that maybe my son is no longer alive. And then we go into his haunting. So I use that because I said, the story's been told before, like in these other ways, documentaries, etc. But no one sees the story of 45 years later, in this moment, in this particular set of circumstances, that breathes this different humanity of seeing this father, now 80 years old, in his mind and his heart, this boy is 6 years old and is somewhere out there. Mm-hmm. And that's who he's looking for. Because that, I think, in my mind, told an untold story and a more powerful story. So using that as the beginning, I picked and choosed from the ending of his book that he says, sometimes dark thoughts haunt me. Should I have insisted his mother stay with him? Was losing her in the jungle our punishment for leaving him? And then I went into a mental prison and I picked those regrets to really hone in this idea of revisiting, you know, that psychological warfare we do with ourselves about, should I have done this? Should I have done that? Regret and guilt, because I thought that was a more powerful emotion. And that's how I picked the scenes.
Yeah.
So it didn't go, you know, everywhere.
When you create an immersive film like this one, is there any concern about length?
Yes, yes. It's a funny thing because most immersive experiences, you're told like the golden rule is like 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Mm. Because the human brain, it's too much for the human brain.
Yeah.
It's still new. There's overload, sensory overload. You're thinking, you're hearing, you're watching,
yeah, you're touching,
moving, you know, all these complexities. On a neuroscience level too, it's like, you know, it's crazy. But I found that if you do it in increments and you give people this new sensation, this sense of surprise, and Quentin Tarantino almost said it the best, you know, when you take audiences up, you bring them back down. You take them down, you bring them back up again, and you create this continual flux of emotion. And obviously your graphics are good. This experience is 55 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And people come out of it and they're like, wow, how long was I in there for? Some people stay for an hour and a half just to walk around. So I don't know. I think it remains to be seen.
Yeah. It's true. It's still a very new media. So we are still, like, you know, trying it out.
Yes. It's great because I've had all ages, especially now that it's open to the public. All sorts of people have come. And it's amazing because the reactions are so different. But they're obsessed with what it is. They want to walk around. They want to try things. Once the controllers become a little easier, it really becomes something magical to watch people experience. So I'm excited about it.
So for the next one.
Of course, the next one.
Well, you know, technology moves so fast in that field. So that when we have like new stuff, new visuals, new everything, every like 6 months, I think there's a new mask, just a new, an additional level. If you compare the quality, the visual quality of like 5 years ago to the one of today.
It's
astonishing. So maybe, maybe what you was just saying, it's, it would be feasible in a couple of years' time.
Yeah, I mean, I wish it was. Also, the accessibility of it.
Right now,
this high-end graphics is hard. You can't just put it on a Quest, the mask. You have to have it to a computer. So when, you know, 5G and cloud computing comes, I think it's going to become more accessible. And there's going to be less limitations, kind of what you said. You'll be able to do more things.
Oh, it's because we are used to good quality visuals. So we need to, I mean, you know, to be,
Completely spoiled.
Completely spoiled. Even, you know, once it was only at the cinema, now at home too. So we need to do, we need to be spoiled again.
Yes. Yeah, you do. Yeah. And people know the difference. You know the difference.
They're totally.
Yeah. So I'm excited. We'll see, you know. And the cool thing is about this technology is once you build something like a virtual world, you know, of some sort in this game engine, I don't know if you've seen Mandalorian, the Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
So that's all created with virtual world on the LED screen. So I want to be a female filmmaker that does those films, then makes the game, then makes the VR experience, and just takes that entire world and really showcases it for all audiences.
Well, Victoria, we would be here waiting for you next time, for next time, for your new immersive, and not only immersive, but like regular, if I may say so, and immersive cinematic experience. So, but you were here presenting Stay Alive, My Son, an immersive VR film at the VR immersive section of the Venice Festival. Thank you very much to Victoria Busis. I'm Angela Cherby for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.